My name's Richard Sidaway. I'm going to talk about NanoServer Server and Windows Containers. In a way, it's following on from what Jeffrey was talking about this morning. He did steal some of my thunder, so I'm going to skip through the slides very quickly. I work with PowerShell.org on the PowerShell Summit. I've been a PowerShell MVP for a number of years, written a couple of books, do some blogging and speaking. And I've been around IT for 20 odd years. This is subject to change. We're on TP5 for Server 2016, and while we don't know how many more previews are coming out, there can't be that many more if they're going to get it out in 2016. So I'm expecting we're getting somewhere close, but given the changes that have happened in between TP5 and TP4, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a few changes came by the time 2016 actually RTMs. I'm doing everything on NanoServer. Don't like GUIs. Okay, NanoServer. Everybody heard Jeffrey's comments, bare minimum server, no local logon. Everything has to be managed remotely. You've got PowerShell, which is the obvious way to do it. Or if you really, really have to use a GUI, there's the server management tools, which are all web-based. 64-bit applications only. Setup and startup is really, really quick because it's tiny, and you've got fewer updates. Number of roles. How many of you remember when Server Core first came in? And there was a limited number of roles, and then with each version, it expanded. It's probably going to be the same sort of thing in that you've got a number of roles available at the moment. Notice with DSC that the pull server isn't available in TP5, though according to the documentation, it is coming. And the important one from our viewpoint for today is that it works very nicely as a container host. Containers, which is probably the fundamental part of the talk, mutes on Windows to Server 2016, lightweight virtualization for applications. It's not a replacement for your virtual machines. They may look like a virtual machine, they may act like a virtual machine, but they're not a virtual machine. Think of it more as a bubble that you're wrapping your applications in that you can move around. They're isolated and independent OS according to the application, but it's like all virtualization, that's all fake. And you can run them directly on top of Hyper-V, or you can run them inside a Windows VM. Containers share the host operating system, and you can manage them through PowerShell or Docker. I'm going to do all of this through PowerShell because I haven't learned Docker yet. Differences between Windows and Hyper-V containers. Jeffrey touched on this around the isolation, in that you get more isolation on the Hyper-V containers because they've got their own Windows kernel and they just don't trust anything. Whereas if you've got a number of containers running on a host VM, there's a little bit more trust going on in that the OS trusts the applications and the applications sort of trust each other. And at the moment, you're limited to what you can put on what. So you've got the host operating system. Any 2016 server can work as a containers host. If you're running Windows Server containers, you can use Server Core or NanoServer. If you're running Hyper-V containers, you're limited to NanoServer. The important bit is at the bottom. If you patch the host, then you must patch your container OS image. I'll explain what that is in a little while. But everything has to match, which sounds great until you work out that there isn't really a story for patching the host OS image at the moment. Sorry, the container OS image at the moment. So how that's going to work is a little bit up in the air. Everybody's keeping the fingers crossed that at some stage, somebody will sprinkle some pixie dust and it'll all happen and we'll be good. My suspicion, to begin with, is that we will end up blowing these things away and rebuilding them after patching. If you're running them on NanoServer, everything is so quick that you can actually get away with doing that. Jeffrey mentioned again about the concepts. So you've got the OS image, which is for what we're going to be using is NanoServer. You've got something that supplies an application, and then you've got this sandbox, which is where all your changes make. Those come together, and it gives you your container. Container networking. You are going to need an awful lot of IP addresses if you're doing containers, because on a 64 gig laptop, on an i7 processor with 64 gig in it, there's a couple of PowerShell MVPs who had nothing better to do one day, managed to spin up 380 odd nano servers. You can, if you're working with virtual machines, you can run the containers in NAT mode. So you've got an internal VM switch on the virtual machine, external address on the host, plus a port maps to the internal address of the container, standard NATing if you've done that for firewalls or proxy servers or anything like that. The great thing with that is that you can put many containers on a single external address. The problem is it's more difficult to manage. Transparent mode, more for if you're running on Hyper-V, external switch gets an IP address from DHCP, or you can give it static, but you've got a MAC spoof if you're running in a container host. New in TP5 is this L2 bridge, which means that if the traffic is going between containers on the same host, on the same subnet, it just goes directly. Everything else has to go through the switch. And again, you're playing around with the MAC addresses. And L2 tunnel mode, don't know anything about that because it's the MS Cloud stack only, and I can't get it to run on this because it's not big enough. The other concept that we'll cover in a little while when I get onto the demo is shared folders. These enable data sharing between the host and the container. If you think of them as a file share, specifically for containers, you're not far off. You can move data backwards and forwards between the host and the container, and you can share them between many containers on a host. Okay, so how do you get all of this working? And at this point, I'm just going to cut across to the demo, and I'm just going to be incredibly brave or incredibly stupid, depending on whether it works or not. And I'm going to... Those are my test machines. Or my demo machines. Right, so let's rebuild the test machine. I'm just going to set this going, and then I will explain what it's doing. So the process to get containers up and running, you need to add the containers feature to a VM or to your Hyper-V server. You need an OS container image, which is the building block. You can get this from the PowerShell gallery. You can either install it direct through the package provider, or you can save the container image and use install container OS image. If you're building a lot of these, this is the easier way of doing it. If you looked at, If you looked at one of the demos this morning, when the package management was being discussed, you'd have noticed that there was two providers or two for container images. Container image is the one you want to use for TP5. If you use container provider, which you will see in the documentation in various places, you will get the TP4 containers, which caused an awful lot of grief when I first tripped over this. I was very puzzled as to what was going on. You contain you once you've got your image installed, you can create a container network, create your container, add a shared folder, add any NAT mapping if you need it, and configure your container with IIS or whatever else you need to put into it. So having gone through it quickly, let's have a look at what's happening here. So I'm just defining an IP address, some credentials, machine name, getting rid of the old VM. I'm then creating a folder for the, let's do it this way while that's running. You can see I'm creating a folder for the new VM. And this is the bit that actually creates a new nano server. So I'm telling it what edition of Windows, you've got choice of standard or data center. I'm deploying it as a guest VM. Base path tells me where the nano server information is. Target path is my folder for the virtual machine. Give it the computer name that we've got, the domain. I'm telling it to reuse the domain node because I've already created this machine before. Give it an IP address, subnet mask, DNS. That's new in TP5. You didn't used to be able to do that in TP4. Enable the remote management port and give it a administrator password. That's all you need to do to create a new instance of nano server that is static IP address, domain joined, ready to go. One line of code. It doesn't get much more efficient than that. And this is running in real time, hopefully. So I'm just then creating a virtual machine, configuring the machine. Once the machine is up and running, I will change the adapter name, set the DNS client for the connection suffix. And one interesting thing with TP5, it's US time zone only when you build it. There's no easy way to change it, so you need to go in and do that. One thing we've got missing in PowerShell, we've got nothing to play with time zones easily, so you've got to drop back to tzutil. And then I'm just creating some folders on the server, copying in the nano server WIM for the container OS image, and copying in the IIS stuff. Remember that Jeffrey said that nano server is small because all of the feature install bits are held outside? They're all held as a series of cap packages. You can either pull them off the media and the install media for Windows Server and build them from that, or you can actually download them from the gallery. And
one second. Can I have a very quick show of hands? Who's going to go to the tech panel, which is on after this, and who's going to go to the culture panel, which is on after this? So there's two panel sessions, one focusing on the MVP tech panel and one talking about DevOps and culture and transformation. Can I have a quick show of hands? Who's going to go to the tech panel? Right. In which case we might swap rooms and put the tech panel upstairs. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay. So I copied in the packages for IIS so I can install it into the container. If you build a server core container, you can just use add Windows feature to install IIS into the container. If you're using nano server, you've got to get the package into the container and then use DISM to install it, which is a little bit of a pain, but it works. I'm creating the container network, giving it a name and a subnet to play with. It's in NAT mode because my Hyper-V machine is 2012R2, and telling it which network adapter to work off of. Creating a container, it literally is give it a name, tell it which image to use, and which network to use. If you give it the network at this point, it creates a network adapter on the container and links it to the network. If you don't give it the network name, you've got to do that by hand. Add a static mapping. Add some shared folders. And start the container. Run the unattended XML to install the IIS cab. Literally, that just says install the cab and install the US version of the cab. Restart the container, and that is literally it. And that takes longer to describe than it actually took to run, because in 5 minutes and 42 seconds, I went from nothing to a working nano server with a container running IIS. Not bad. So, what happened there? Go away. And so going through this, that's what you see, this bit. That's the feedback when it's creating nano server. So you can see it picks up the image, it creates an empty BHDX, creates the system partition, creates a Windows partition, blah, 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 makes it bootable. And it is that simple. That bit in and of itself takes a couple of minutes at most on this machine. If you're doing it on something with a lot of power, it'll run an awful lot quicker. Setting the date and time, creating the folders, all the usual feedback. Now, that warning, at the moment, you can manage containers using Docker, or you can manage them using the PowerShell commandlets. The current PowerShell commandlets are supposedly going to be deprecated, and they're going to create some new ones based over the top of Docker. That's a work in progress. There's a project on GitHub for it. If you wish to contribute to that, the team is welcoming contributions and comments. It's, as far as I can see at the moment, it's just a placeholder. They haven't actually done any work on it, so it's a case of watch this space for what's going to happen here in the future. What I've seen about it so far suggests that the PowerShell commandlets will be more or less the same in terms of naming and parameters and that sort of thing. The way they work underneath the hood will change. We created the network, created the shared folder, and added the image in, and then we added IIS into the container. And if we start to look at the container, so we got a containers host. The important thing here is that you get some response from this. This tells you that the container stuff is up and running. You can work with these things over sim sessions or standard remoting. The container image repository location is configurable. I'm just leaving it in the default for the moment. Container. The important things here are the container image, the parent image for the container. So it's the nano server image, And the particular version is important because, as I said, you've got to match the version of the container OS image to the host operating system that you're running on. It says it's running the usual sorts of things about machines that you're interested in. Container image. It's the Microsoft NanoServer one. The documentation implies that there will be a bunch of images become available over time with specific things installed through the Docker Hub. At the moment, because we're still in preview, there's nothing there at the moment. If you're wondering about the sort of files you get, so you've got the whole bunch of stuff in program data under Microsoft Windows and Microsoft Windows Hyper-V. So you can see the containers and you can see the images. These all work as virtual disks. Container network, that basically repeats what we told it to do. So we've got a network named ConNAT. It's using the 172.16 subnet. Gateway is 172.16.0.1, which maps to the NIC on the host, and it's running in NAT mode. One thing to be aware of is that containers are not objects that you can join to Active Directory. In TP5, they're not objects that you can join to Active Directory. Whether that's going to change, not sure, but I suspect not, because as I said, they're really lightweight objects for your application virtualization. What happens when you create the network is that it creates a virtual switch for you. If you've worked with Hyper-V, it's exactly the same sort of thing. And you get a network, you can get one or more adapters on the network, on the container. You set up a static mapping so that I'm mapping the adapter on the container and port 80 to the external adapter on the virtual machine running the container on port 80. This is an improvement over TP4, because before you had to do it on internal IP addresses, so I would have to have mapped 172.16.0.2 port 80 to the external adapter. On TP5, you just map the container network adapter. And then the shared folders, you saw them created. If anybody wants a copy of these scripts, please let me know and I'll make them available somewhere. And just to prove that this is all actually real, there's our IIS with our fantastic application that our really speedy developers have produced for us. And that is really all you need to get containers up and running in your application, in your environment. In terms of what sort of applications you can run in them, anything sensible seems to be the answer that I'm getting back. So you probably wouldn't want to run SQL Server or Exchange or SharePoint in a container. It'd be fun to try, but it's not something that I would really recommend. Web apps, there's a whole bunch of applications that have been tested. So IIS, Apache, all of the JavaScript stuff, web stuff, Django, SQLite, MongoDB, etc., 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 etc. So look at that list. It's on the MSDN documentation for containers. It's constantly changing, and it'll give you a good idea of whether your application will run or not. If it's not on the list, my recommendation is to try it and see what happens and feed it back to the container team so they can modify the list. Any questions so far? I know I'm going fairly fast, but I've got quite a bit to get through. Yes, sir. The question was, as these containers can't join AD, is authentication through the command line basically your credentials? Is that right?
Yeah. All the Windows.
It is Windows authentication. You can, if you're remoting, once you've remoted into the host, as long as you have permissions on that host to work with whatever's there, you're golden. So it's the same as any other Windows application. It's not going to give you any more permissions. It's not going to take permissions away. But there's no specific permission set around the containers as of now. Whether that changes or not, I don't know. But my suspicion is that it won't, at least in this version. Yes. Yeah, those commands that I was running against the host, they were using my domain credentials. I wasn't giving them any credentials because I was just using my standard domain credentials. Sorry, there's another. Yes, sir. Your code is going to make that call out to AD, isn't it? So as long as your networking and DNS allows all of the connectivity, there's no reason why that code shouldn't be able to call out. What I'm saying that you can't join the computer, oh, sorry, the container to AD. Yeah. 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 So did your cast a question? It's around the container or applications in the container calling out things like AD or SQL, and the basic answer is it's inheriting from the machine. So if your application is given an account to call out to SQL or out to AD or whatever, it will be able to make that call as long as all of the networking bits join up. Yes, sir. No, sorry. That's too complicated. Yes.
And then ran the install. Yeah. Can the source files be held centrally or something like that? Because that seems a bit inefficient if you're deploying a fleet of web servers, you've got to copy the files everywhere.
Okay, the question was around that when I built the container, I copied the IIS cab files in and ran them to install it. I will answer that in the next bit, and you'll see why. It's not an issue. Basically, what you do is you create one container, get it configured how you want. You can then create an image from that you can create multiple containers.
Okay, so you can clone containers.
Yeah. So to answer your question, if you want a bunch of containers running IIS with an application, you get the first one configured, you create an image from it, and then you can clone as many as you want from that.
Thanks. And then just from a timing point of view, because 5.5 minutes to install NanoSaver in a container makes people think that's actually ridiculously slow for a container. But how fast was the container install? Because I presume you would have your hosts
there already. The container itself is as fast as your machine.
Plus, however long it takes IIS to install, for example.
Yeah. But if you're going to be, say you're working on IIS-based apps, there's nothing to stop you to creating a container with your basic IIS install configured as you need it for that application, creating an image from that. You can then create container after container after container from that image, and you only need to update that image when something moves on. So your timing at that point shrinks to next to nothing. My demo was partly to demonstrate building NanoServer and partly to demonstrate the containers bit. Adding a container in, as you see as we get a bit further on, is pretty quick.
Thanks.
Okay. Right, so I'm just going to repeat that because we need a production machine. And while we're doing that, I will... So, I think this answers your question. So for application deployment, you create your base container, you install your application, get everything configured and testing. You then create an image from that. And versioning is incredibly important on that because you can create multiple small increments. You can then duplicate the container from that if required, or you can export the container image, copy it off to another target, and import it and create containers from that, which I'll be showing you in a little while. That does not look good. It's probably because I ran the wrong one. That's what I want to run. Okay, to start some of the... So at the moment, I've got another machine building to for our production machine. So I'm... How are we doing for time? I'll talk through this while we're running that. So... I mentioned that once you've got your container totally configured and ready to roll, you can create an image from that, and this is how you do that. So you need to stop the container. You can then create a new container image, and you need to tell it which container you're coming off of. Give it a publisher. That's a arbitrary string. Put your company name or the application or whatever. Give it a name, again, which is arbitrary but should really mean something to you, and give it a version. The version is the really important thing if you're going to be using the name. In this case, it's a container that contains IIS, and it's the nano server image. Show the container images when we get there. You can then export the container image. So all you need to do is give it a path to tell it where to go to. At that point, you've got something that you can move to another machine. Now, how you do that is entirely up to the tool set that you use in your environment. What I'm going to do is use PowerShell remoting and just use the fact that I can copy in and out of a remoting session. You then just basically reverse it. So you import the container image and then create a new container. Add the static mapping and you're good to go. And you can repeat that as many times as you want to give you the incremental rollout of your application. Any questions at this stage? I'm just waiting for the production machine to run, then I'll kick this off. Yep.
I'm just assuming from the perspective of portability,
there's not really going to be any need to be able to move an online container between hosts.
So to move a...
So a container that started, to move it from one host to the other.
No, to be...
You just whack out the image to...
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Going.
Yeah, you've not got anything like the live migration or that you've got with virtual machines.
Yeah, so a follow-on question from that is, what about the high-availability bit? So if I've got a Hyper-V cluster and I've got a whole bunch of containers...
At the moment, there's nothing for moving them in the same way that you would move a virtual machine. Depending on your application, you would look at high availability. If it's a web-based app, you use load balancing and have different servers on different hosts and that sort of thing. If you're running them within a VM, your VM is obviously capable of the migration. And as far as I'm aware, the container will stay up while that happens, the same as any other application does.
So, is there a concept, I might miss it, but is there a concept of container hardware where you can like drop a hub in that you can read the container and then just put it down as it's needed?
Is there a concept of harboring for containers as there is with Docker? Is that a container image or an actual container that you could pull down and actually just start running?
Either, I guess. I mean, if you're thinking on the Docker IDE, you can pull down a Docker image and run it.
At the moment, there isn't, but I think part of that is because we're in a preview situation. What I've seen is that they're certainly going to have images available through the Docker Hub. Whether that extends to having actual containers, I'm not sure, because at the moment I can't see any way of actually exporting a container that you could Okay, so production machine is up and running, so we'll kick our application into production. And you now see that we've got the two container images. So we've got the original one, which is the OS image, and we've now got the one we just created, which is based on it. It's copying it into the production machine. Really should have used the warning action on parameter on these to suppress those messages.
So you move if in the application you build it in test, you move it move into production. If in the test environment you've got configuration or external resources,
you're gonna have to move everything as a package. Okay. Right. What I'm showing you here is a very simplistic to get the concepts across of how containers work on Windows. The question is around how do you manage dependencies between containers and those sorts of things, I think, isn't it? Configuration. So if you're moving from test to or from dev to test to production, what things change and how do you manage those configuration? The way I think you're going to have to do it is to basically route this through your build process so that your container image becomes part of your build process and you carry those things across that way. I've deliberately sidestepped all of this in this because I haven't got time. There's only so much we can do. But that now has our container up and running on And that's as difficult or as simple, depending on which way you want to put it, as it is to move containers around. And I'm just going to quickly update my application. All I'm doing is changing that front page on IIS as a, just so that we've got something different, and I'll move that into prod. And again, all I'm doing is creating an image off of the new container. And if you saw what I did, I created a new container based on the image that we created, changed the IIS setup, and you can see here that I've now got a 1.1. That's the one that's been moved across. That will get copied across into the production machine. And our application is not what I wanted it to be. Because what I've done is actually rolled it back as well. And that's our application updated. And if we wanted to roll it back, it's just a simple matter of stopping one container and starting another container. And we'll just refresh that, and it goes back. And that, in a very, very quick nutshell, is NanoServer and Windows containers. As with all of this stuff, simple demo like this doesn't get you get your applications up and running, but I think you can see from this that A, they're very easy to set up, they're quick to set up, they're quick to move, and as a method of getting applications into production very quickly using the tools that you've got, or even the straight out of the box PowerShell tools, it's good. Any more questions?
So, what size are the container images?
What size are the container images? So the, if you can see that, the first one we created, the 1.0, which is the one that had IIS and everything in, was 62 meg. The second one, which was just the delta on the application, was is 6 meg. So not very big. This means that you need that hierarchy of images. So if you get to the point where you've got a lot of increments to your application, you probably want to think about rolling up those images and resetting so that you're not carrying a whole bunch of images around. Yes, sir?
Is there a command in that to flatten those images?
No, but what you would do is, what would you do? Yeah, you'd have to start. You'd reset at that point. So you generate. You'd have to get rid of the layer of images and then reset and generate a new image.
Is there any difference in monitoring resource utilization of container to server and host?
Any difference in monitoring resources? You can get one of the options. Sorry, that's Nano Server. So Nano Server will take the standard configuration manager, operations manager, agents, so you can monitor at that level. The containers, I think you're probably more interested in monitoring at the application layer rather than the actual infrastructure layer, because you're more interested is the container up and running, and B is your application up and running, rather than the performance of the container itself. So it's not a virtual machine. It's effectively a wrapper for the isolation wrapper for the application. Any other questions? Sorry.
Is the shared folder model the primary way of persisting state, or is there a concept of like a storage container?
So is the shared folder the primary way of conserving state? The shared folders are really a mechanism for getting data in and out. It's not a state mechanism. If you're thinking of website state and that sort of stuff, the shared folders are not designed for that. You'd use whatever you normally use for your web application. So whether it's stateless, whether you're going back off to SQL or whatever.
Thank you.